This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Give it a whole lot of thought other than, yeah, I didn't enjoy, not playing Jason against Serbia, not playing Joel against South Sudan. Those are not fun decisions, but our guys were all amazing. They committed to each other. They committed to winning the gold medal. They brought the gold home for their country. They all handled themselves with incredible dignity and class, and that's the real story.
Our Golden State Warriors win their fifth in a row. They're now 7-1 and remain perfect on the road, 5-0 on the road. As the Celtics lose their first home game of the season, their two Olympic teammates and NBA stars with much respect. This was a fun game, guys.
All right, the good news is 80-2. Is still on the table. The bad news is the Boston Celtics have lost two regular season games over the past 2 weeks. One on the road, albeit one that Celtics social media had to remind us was in overtime. Last night was the first regulation loss and the first home loss of the season. A thrilling 7-point defeat at the hands of the Golden State Warriors, a team many people had targeted and ticketed for regression this year, and that the Celtics would run roughshod over they and the rest of the league. Spoiler alert, Steph Curry wants you to know he's got a whole new posse, and he is here to stay. And so are we tonight. How about that, everybody? It's your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, alongside the one and only, no, it's not Chris Scheim, no, it's not Megan Onalini. I get to do 90 minutes. Now, that would be something.
I was going to say, I need a drink.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to need a couple 5-hour energies of Celsius and maybe some Red Bull as well. No, I got the master of frequency modulated disaster, the prince of pop, and the king of the rejoined sting himself, the one and only KJ Carson with me. Fitzy and KJ tonight. What up, KJ?
Hey, man, I did not know I was working tonight until I was laying on my couch today. I was just like, oh, wow, I get to come in with Fitzy and ride on the in the cart. It's interesting that you mentioned this game because we were all expecting it to be like this revenge game for Tatum. But I think you learned last night that if you want to have really good revenge, have Tatum and Brown out there and they could both happen. That's what I really wanted to happen, was to see Brown get his revenge for not being selected and Tatum for getting his revenge for being told, hey, you're not going to play in the game that we haven't played yet a couple of times. So I was a little disappointed, but again, it was an exciting game. But Steph Curry shows that there's still something in the tank. And I kind of like this flexibility that the roster has for Golden State. So they may be scary. I'm still riding with the Celtics to be absolutely dominant, though.
If you want to weigh in on the Celtics game or any of the topics at hand on this evening's 90-minute abbreviated program, get in touch with us at 617-779-7937. Joe Braverman, producer extraordinaire, will pick up the line and give you a friendly greeting. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Fitzy. Hello, KJ. I'm very excited to see how this combination works. Two guys with a lot of energy.
You missed it last week. It was the day before Halloween we did a show together.
Yeah, we did, and we've been on the radio previously as well on multiple occasions, several day parts as well. It's always a dynamic duo. Sometimes I'm Batman and he's Robin, and vice versa. Either way,
it's
we
funny
end up
how
in
these
the
producers kind of date themselves of when they got hired. They're like, I've never known this has happened before. It's like, we've kind of been here for a little bit. So, but yeah, Joe, man, it's always good. I don't know if you know this, Fitzy, but Joe and I, well, I won a prize, and the nice guy that I did when I entered the competition, Joe can admit, I put Joe's name on there and gave him 10% of the prize money. What was it, 2023?
I was, about a year ago, I'd
say. I think I keep saying that to remind you to file your W-9 if you haven't done that for that.
But if it's under $600, he doesn't have to report it, so pipe down,
I didn't
KJ.
Say how much it was.
You can always get in touch with us on the textual line at 37937. He is at KJ Carson. I'm at Fitzy GFY. And, of course, this is at WEEI. So, yeah, first thing I want to address, KJ, is what you got to as well. So much for the bluster of the Jason Tatum revenge game. I know a lot was made yesterday and leading up into the game of, oh, man, I saw Tatum's over-under prop was only 30.5 points. He should have that in the first half. And I wondered exactly why. I've wondered this all summer long into the autumn as well.
Okay.
Why does everybody have such a hair across their blank and a chip on their shoulder for Steve Kerr and the way that he handled everything at the Olympics? Now, look, should Jason Tatum perhaps have played a little bit more? Sure. Should Jaylen Brown have been there in Paris with the rest of his guys, considering that they took 25% of the championship Celtics to Paris for a gold medal? Absolutely. But, you know, Jason Tatum at times seemed like, I won't say he was nervous or he got choked up, but it didn't seem like he had his regular game in his full flow. He was the deferential version of Jason Tatum on the global stage with LeBron, with Booker, with his pseudo-mentor, KD and company. So while I'm not going to say I ride with every decision Steve Kerr made, I kind of understand the rotation he went with. And at the same time, it worked because guess what? They won gold. So the whole revenge factor as far as playing Tatum goes and, you know, giving him an extra incentive this year to shove it up Kerr's blank and show the rest of the league that he's him and this is his time. They've already won a championship. He got the ultimate flex, a gold and an NBA championship in the same summer. So I never understood that. And if that carried into the rest of the team, KJ, like, we're going to win tonight for Jason Tatum, like, they don't need to do that. I certainly hope that wasn't on their mind. They need to play the best team game possible, especially when they're still down Porzingis and there was no Jaylen Brown last night.
Well, yeah, they don't need to do that. But come on, this is Boston. We love a good revenge story. Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing. If LeBron had won the NBA championship, does LeBron get the, do you sit LeBron down at the Olympics? If Kevin Durant had won the NBA title, would you sit Kevin Durant down? I think the bigger story is, okay, Jaylen Brown is the MVP of the NBA Finals and is not there. The best player on the championship team that just won the title is the one who gets rotated in and out. It was him and Tyrese Halliburton were the ones. Now, Tyrese Halliburton, you could say, like, okay, he's the Christian Laettner of this team. He's the new guy on there. That's perfectly fine. But Jason Tatum
is happy to go along for the ride.
Well, right. So, but Jason Tatum is a first-team All-NBA guy. What other? And here's the thing, even with the Olympics, I know we're probably replaying history here, but it isn't saying that, you know, hey, if Jason Tatum can't get into the game because of rotations, say that's what it is. But the problem that I had was you're telling him before the game that we think that Sudan just has something that's just something you can't handle. Like, that's how it would come off. So as a fan of Jason Tatum and ultimately the fan of the Celtics, you would want something to build on the story where you already have a league and a national media that is not giving the Celtics its proper due. It's like, oh, look, nothing against Drew Holiday and Derek White going. But, I mean, did Kyle Anderson get chosen to go because he's the teammate of Anthony Edwards last year in Minnesota? Like, I mean, granted, these two players are better than, but what team sends their second and, you know, third and fourth best players and their first two, one gets benched and the other one doesn't go? So it's part of that bias that you're just kind of like, why don't you just say it out loud And then you have this game. You're like, yeah, you want Kerr to feel the wrath of Jason Tatum because Jason Tatum is not going to be benched in this game.
Do we really think that, like, straight up, that Steve Kerr, honestly, asking you and asking the audience at large, do we truly feel like Steve Kerr has a Boston or Jason Tatum / Celtics bias? Because I hate to say it, but by and large, save for the absolute tub thumping that they got last year when the Celtics were up by 50 and it didn't even feel that close, the Golden State Warriors have been rather successful at the Boston Garden, or TD Garden, whatever, Garden 2.0, over the last decade or so. Like, this has been a more successful venue for them than not. 2002, they come back in Game 4 with that amazing Steph Curry game, wrap it up in 6. Last night, they didn't seem intimidated by the moment. As a matter of fact, I couldn't believe the energy, the togetherness, and the focus and stability that the Warriors played with. But the whole entire notion that there was some sort of grudge to be had, I always felt like that was a little overplayed. I felt like that was a bit more of like, as we seek narratives on a team that looks like they are destined for greatness once again. Look, for God's sakes, Tyrese Maxey tears his hammy last night. He's out for a while. Embiid is on a suspension and is half the man he used to be as well. The Knicks are going to be good. They're really made, like, the Cavs are excellent, but like, it doesn't feel like to me that there's a great rival right now in the Eastern Conference. As a matter of fact, I think the Celtics' best rival in basketball came into the Garden last night, played him tough, and ultimately escaped with the win. But the Kerr dynamic always felt like it was a little overplayed. If anything, you want to get him back for the finals a couple of years ago.
Well, part of it is built into what's happened from the finals a couple of years ago. Do I think Steve Kerr, you know, had this circled on his calendar? No, I don't think that's the case at all.
Not because the way we did, right?
Well, yes, and I think because part of it is, this is what the Celtics team was built, going back to Danny Ainge, this is what they built that team to go after Golden State. So it'd be one thing if they'd beaten Golden State and won the title 2 years ago, right? Then maybe Steve Kerr has a little bug in his butt, if you will, about the Celtics because the Celtics directly prevented him from winning his last championship. But because the Celtics didn't beat Golden State last year, I don't think it matters as much to Steve Kerr. It just kind of reared its ugly head once the Olympics hit because the initial noise was about why Jaylen Brown wasn't there after, what is the guy's name? It's so hard to remember. Is that Kawhi Leonard decided to go home, right? The whole argument was like, okay, if Kawhi Leonard, a guard, similar size to Jaylen Brown, it goes home, you replace him with Derek White? Like that, I mean, look, we love Derek White here, but you would say, okay, you went to this team and you said, who am I going to pick for my kickball team next? And Jaylen Brown, and standing there, you go, I'm going to take Derek White. Now, yeah, the goal is to win a gold medal, but you don't feel like Jaylen Brown was going to prevent you from winning a gold medal. So that was the first part. And then I think when it gets to, yes, there's still this thing about the Warriors because there's a generation that see the Warriors the way that people see the Lakers and the Celtics, depending on what your age is. So, yeah, there's still that thing that's going on there. But I don't think the Warriors and the Celtics are necessarily the rivalry right now in the NBA just because the Warriors may not be there in the end. If anything, I would say watch out for Indiana because Indiana is kind of like the mobster's son who saw dad get smoked and wants revenge, right? So that's who you'd have to watch out for.
They're plotting this slow. They're going to like, when I grow up, man, wait till you see me.
Right, get the slow Freddie Hubbard horns going, the whole nine. Is because once you, and when they put that banner up in that game they won in overtime last week, I think the Celtics recognized that, hey, this is the kid that we've got to watch out for. And Indiana is like, hey, we gave them the toughest battle last year in their entire playoff run, and we want to show them that we're going to be a problem. So when you raise, like, think about it, to raise a banner saying that you beat the Celtics on October 30th means that before October 30th, you had to have that banner sewn or made. I don't know, what do you go to, a sign store nearby at the corner or the middle outdoor mall?
It's probably like a print pal or maybe, right, maybe exactly. Someone's got a friend. Is Etsy based out of Indianapolis?
It could be just one woman sewing that flag ever since they lost last year.
Betsy Ross of milk drinking country.
Right. So when you've got that going on, you know that this is what they have. So you have to always keep an eye out for the one that has the poster of you every day looking at you saying, one day you will be mine. And I think that's Indiana. You have to watch out for them.
The Pacers are basically Steve Buscemi in Happy Gilmore, or Billy Madison just sitting there waiting to get revenge for the childhood. And then when the Celtics finally make everything okay, they turn around, put on their lipstick, and cross their name off. Who knows? I see what you're saying. I'm with you. The Knicks will obviously present a challenge as well. Milwaukee can't get out of their own way. I'm not sure if Philadelphia will even get healthy enough. Plus, they're also Philadelphia. But I feel like the Golden State Warriors, if they can play like this, and I understand Steph Curry's health has already been in question because he's missed a couple of games to start the season off. But, man, there is no one. If I had to pick a, like right now, if we were going to do like an emergency power ranking or a medal stand of basketball players, I fear one-on-one the most if they're at their best. I don't understand how anybody else could pick somebody but Steph Curry, because he's
out of everybody in the league.
I'm telling you, he's got it against the Celtics. Like, he seems, those lights get bright and he does not play tight, and everyone
and
else around him,
against this. So I can't choose any Celtics in this perceived argument, right?
No. It would someone else outside of the Celtics.
Okay. Yeah, because he's always going to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, somebody you would be worried about going off. But they're all in the West, and I think that's why I mentioned Indiana, because there's a higher probability that the Celtics will see Indiana again this year than they will see the Golden State Warriors in the finals.
All right, there we go. If that's a finals, I will say this, like the great Mike Bang Breen said last night as well in the game. That was an entertaining game. There was a playoff atmosphere just 9 games into the regular season. There's a whole lot of basketball still to be played.
But this was a fun game, guys.
Oh, please. I was praying that's not a bang, because that drives me crazy after a while. I get it.
What about the double bang?
Yeah, well, who was the kid? William Hung, that was on American Idol? Like, anytime when he sang that song,
She
Bangs.
The only time William Hung and Mike Breen will ever be in the same
sentence. Right, well, both of them have some type of bang going on, right? And when you start to conflate the two, you're just like, this is just a really ugly child in my head right now. So I don't like that. When I hear bang, William Hung sneaks in there. It's just bad.
Great. Now I'm going to have to get to work on a mega mix after the show tonight of William Hung and Mike Breen highlights together. What do you say, Celtics fans? How do you feel about the game last night? There shouldn't be any concerns, but at the same time, hey, those Warriors, they came out to play. David, Adam, Patrick, Ron, don't you guys go anywhere. We're going to get to your calls just on the other side. Does anyone else, aside from your old pal Fitzy, believe that the Warriors might very well just be the Celtics' best rival in the NBA right now? And if they were to meet up, they would present them one hell of a challenge in the finals. 617-779-7937. There's your telephone number. And here is your producer and news trender extraordinaire, Joe Braverman, catching you up on everything going on.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Today's injury report is out for the Patriots as they continue practicing for their matchup on Sunday with the Bears in Chicago. Second straight day of DNPs for both Kyle Duggar and Christian Ellis. Guard Layden Robinson was upgraded to a full participant after being limited yesterday with an ankle injury. On the other side for Chicago, right tackle Darnell Wright and starting safety Jaquan Brisker were both DNPs. Some other news going around the NFL. The Panthers and running back Chuba Hubbard have agreed to a 4-year extension worth $33 million. That's $15 million of it guaranteed. And per Ian Rapoport, Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence will likely not play on Sunday. You know what that means? The door is open for old friend Mac Jones to get his first start for Jacksonville against the Minnesota Vikings. Week 10 in the NFL. That's right, Fitzy McCorkle. Week 10 in the NFL gets started tonight with the Bengals taking on the Ravens. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at 7:30. The Bruins return home to face off with the Flames, and per Jim Montgomery, as usual, line changes will be made. Justin Brazeau moves up to the top line with Brad Marchand and Elias Lindholm. Pavel Zacha back as second line center with Pasta and Tyler Johnson. Jeremy Swayman is the starting goaltender. Puck drop from TD Garden in less than an hour at 7 o'clock. And the Celtics have released their injury report for tomorrow's matchup with the Brooklyn Nets. Jaylen Brown will miss his fourth straight game with a left hip flexor strain, and Luke Kornet is doubtful with right hamstring tightness. The easy way to donate your car, donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS today or donate online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's cars with a K. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be better across the board. You know, I thought we took, as a whole offense, I thought we took a step back last week, and I told those guys that. You know, I thought we made two strides forward, and we took a step back last week. So, challenge is to get back to where we were heading, I think, and the run game's included in that. You know, we love to run it 30 times a game. At the same time, you have to be in, you know, a situation where you're allowed to do that, and that's having successful runs on first and second down throughout the course of the game. You know, unfair to the running backs at times, like not giving them enough touches, but at the same time, you have to keep yourself in the game. And I thought our pass game is an area that we've improved over the last 3 weeks, and I think that's kind of where we lead in that game. Got away from the run.
Well, here it comes. Everyone at home and in the car is fired up. Let's do it.
At least we should get a Mike Breen version of a remake. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, Boston. I'm sorry, New England. I even brought it up into the lexicon of thought.
Why? Damn. Why would you ever apologize? You're
because
on the radio
now
in Boston.
And you're
never. You apologize for nothing, KJ Carson. You know, especially when you're on the radio with
me. The crazy thing is now, if you want to do the William Hung impersonation, when he's telling that he's only a formal educational singer, I have to say it in my voice. Yeah. I cannot say. I have to say I am not professionally trained singer. So yes. I have to say it that way. You know?
Yeah,
but
William
Hung, one of the worst things that ever happened to American songwriting.
And by one of the worst, you mean one of the best. It's Fitzy and KJ coming at you on a Thursday night. We'll be with you till about 7:25, at which point we will throw it to Westwood One's coverage of what should be, KJ, a pretty entertaining Thursday night affair with the Cincinnati Bengals going into Ballmer to take on likely.
Stop! Braverman is just, he's a national treasure sometimes.
Joe's going to send that to me, and anytime either of you text me, and my phone is just going to go, she bangs!
It's a potato mashup.
Oh, my. We have a ton more to offer, but first, let's get to you, the good people of WEEI, our listenership who keep the ship afloat. 617-779-7937. Adam is on the South Shore down in Milton. What's up, Adam? What's up, buddy?
I think Adam decided to use the Odyssey app, the speaker where you tell Alexa, hey, play the new 97.7, and then tried to make a call and then probably interrupted.
It could very well have happened.
Or it could have been hearing William Hung in his ears and just like, oh my God, what's happened?
I can't do this anymore. Oh my God, these people are completely bent. All right, we'll go up to the Granite State. Let's do the 603. Corey is in New Hampshire. What's up, Corey?
Hey, I just wanted to know what you guys think, if the Patriots will actually do something this offseason, like getting a new O-line and getting Drake May some help.
Do we believe that the Patriots will? I think that is priority number one, and thanks for the call, Corey. As a matter of fact, the rest of this regular season, and this is sort of what I wanted to get into with you now, KJ, was, you know, how we see the rest of this regular season playing out in terms of both developing the asset, the franchise, the kid that is key to everything New England Patriots for the rest of this year, next year, and at least the next 10 years or so, it looks like, in Drake May. How do you make the rest of this season a success, and how do you keep him upright, make sure no bad habits are developed, and what do you need to get for him in the future? The answer to that is, yeah, you do need literally almost half of an offensive line. You need, if not two, stud-level receivers. And it may also come down to he may need a different play caller. Now, it seems like Alex Van Pelt is doing a great job.
You mean Alex Dan Pelt? ADP, the makers of your paychecks and the runners of your Patriots offense. Alex
pretty much
Dan
about as pretty much, I would say, the both the numbers when you run them on both are about as exciting as each other, respectively. Like Van Pelt's offense does leave a lot to be desired and to the imagination as well. But let's just sort of start here. So Drake May following, there was no nickname for it. Jaden Daniels and Drake May, quarterbacks QBs 2 and 3 from this past draft, each have a signature crazy play, something that his opponent Sunday, Caleb Williams, does not have to date. As a matter of fact, Caleb Williams had to sit there on the sideline and watch Jaden Daniels deliver the Hail Maryland to beat them a couple weeks back. There's no name for Drake May's play at the end of last week's game. I guess Music City Miracle.
I was
too.
Just like, thank God, or yeah, or no way. You know, like it was like the
holy smokes, or right. What? Yeah.
Well, I think good plays that have nicknames are supposed to come with a winning result.
That's the other part of it, right? The you know, what did Ricky Bobby say? If you're second, you're last. So
if you ain't first, you're last.
Second, if you ain't second first, you're last.
Second place, first loser. If you ain't first, you're last.
So look, what do you think? So yes, what do I think Drake May needs? And so, before he got into the game, which I thought would be around the London game, I was like, I think at that point you'd say, okay, you need to get Drake May off the training wheels and let him see there, because he is going to be playing for future free agents that may want to come here or thinking about it. So I think the important thing that Drake May has shown is that he has that dog in him. I hate using that term. Why put it in the rib cage? Why not put it like in his stomach? You know what I mean? Or in his back or something like that. Just it's always in the rib cage. Maybe that's where a dog fits. But if you're able to show that, then that's when players are kind of saying, you know what? A receiver may say, hey, if I was underneath and they wouldn't go to high safeties and bracket Butte and end up with the interception, they would have to pay attention to me earlier, and then there may be one-on-one coverage. So I think two things are really good with what's happening with Drake May for the future is, A, you don't have to get an A-list cast offensive line because he can move the pocket, right? Some of your better teams, Baltimore, they don't have the best line in the league. San Francisco, even though their record, they're still one of the better teams. Outside of their left tackle, they don't really have the greatest line in the world. But if you've got a magnificent quarterback who can do things and make plays happen, that's buying time down the field, and things can take care of themselves. That very last play was an example of, with as bad of a line that the Patriots have, he was able to pull that off for that last play before they went into overtime. So I think the other part of it is, and this sounds crazy, but if you do sit with the number one pick, I mean, do you at least get on the phone with Cincinnati and say, hey, Ja'Marr Chase only is on a one-year deal. Do you offer up that first-round pick and do a swap for somewhere later in the draft to say, let's go get one of the alpha guys in the league, because I don't think you'll be able to sign him with free agency. If you can't get Calvin Ridley and Brandon Ayuk wanted $3 million more and still didn't want to come here, then why would the best ones come here? The only way you'd be able to do is pull it off on a trade. You've got plenty of money, and you at least have some tape showing Drake May of what he can do. I think you go that route and then look at other offensive linemen that you could develop. Because think about it. You almost feel like any offensive lineman that's out there is going to be better than what you have on the weak side, on that left side. So I think you have to be bold if you're Elliott Wolf and say, you know what? What are we really going to do with this number one pick? There's no kill him dead wide receiver. There's no Marvin Harrison Jr. there. The offensive tackle, if you're talking about Campbell at LSU, I don't want to get deep into that. But some people are now saying maybe his arms are too short to box with God. And so why not just use that one pick and do what Chicago did and use it to go get DJ Moore and then try and move things forward? Because if you said there's a combination of Drake May and Ja'Marr Chase, there is going to be a feeling that there's nothing that can't be accomplished with those two, even if the offensive line isn't the best one in the world.
Yeah, I can't see moving the top overall pick for Ja'Marr Chase, as much as I know Cincinnati continues to do Cincinnati things and dink around with him as far as his contract because he wants to get like a dollar more than Justin Jefferson. I mean, to me, it's a fool's folly. I would just pay the man. You see what a healthy Joe Burrow can do when he has intermittent contributions from T. Higgins, and he's got a healthy, motivated, focused Jamar Chase out there playing on a $6 million deal, hoping next year he's playing on a $36 million
deal. But the Patriots have enough room to give him the money he wants.
They do, but
and if you're building the next Joe Burrow, think about it. Joe Burrow is getting his money, and that's the reason why Jamar Chase, they're trying to figure out how to get it to him. If Drake May isn't getting his money yet and you feel like a Jamar Chase will get him to the next level, then what, you get 3-4 years before you actually have to address paying Drake May?
It's not, I'll be honest, I've already spent way too much time looking at available free agents on the offensive line. You shared a document with me last week about who's going to potentially be available. There are guys that are good, but there's nobody who's him. And as far as the receiver class goes, it looks like a whole lot of T. Higgins and. So I'm sure the Patriots will probably be in on T. Higgins, even though he spends almost as much time in the tub as he does playing for the club, which is a shame because the guy's a world-class talent, but that's just the state of affairs. To me, if the Patriots play out the season, and I want to rein it back into how the hell they keep Drake May on his two speedy feet the rest of the season and what they can do to advance his game and hopefully advance the team's cause. But to me, if you were looking long view, I want to get – you mentioned the Bears. First thing I think of when I think of the Chicago Bears – is I want to find a team like the Carolina Panthers that I can offer that pick to for a king's ransom. And it may not be a Herschel Walker size trade, but given how many blue chip players and how much depth the Patriots need, linebacker, who knows who the safeties are going to be next year because you've already lost Peppers. Kyle Duggar's been hurt 3 straight games now as well. You need receivers. You're going to need a left tackle. If the offensive line gels, you got Owenu. Who knows if it's Laydon Robinson, someone else. Maybe David Andrews, in the best-case scenario, comes back. You absolutely need a left tackle. You cannot continue. They just signed some guy off the Minnesota Vikings practice squad named Robinson, and he now becomes their 13th offensive lineman, KJ. The record is 14 playing in an NFL season for one particular franchise. If I were on FanKings or DraftDuel right now, I would smash the over that the Patriots set the record for the number of offensive linemen used in an NFL season because the whole entire line is a mess. So that's one of the things they got to do to make sure Drake May doesn't lose his mind, his body, or both.
So let me ask you this.
Find the line and settle.
What position do you think was taken more in last year's draft? One through the last pick. Were more offensive linemen taken or more wide receivers taken?
I'll go receiver.
Nope. Offensive linemen by 10.
10.
That's how bad everybody in the league has got it. By 10. 45 offensive linemen, 35 receivers. So if you're talking about trying to find a receiver, I mean, do you need to look at Tyquan Thornton's locker and go, wow, that was a second round pick? How is that working?
You need to look
out?
At it and say, why are you still here?
You can go look at Cole Strange's locker and go, wow, first round pick. I think the Patriots are at the point where you say, at some point for a young quarterback who shows he belongs, you need to go get somebody who already who's already in this league who more than belongs. So if you go and get the receiver that's only in the conversation with Justin Jefferson and you've got the quarterback on the rookie deal for the next 3 to 4 years, make that move because there's no guarantee that's coming in the draft because we've seen none of these guys from the draft pan out. I mean, even Ramondre Stevenson, who felt like a steal, now you have to wonder, do you need to go get a running back somewhere in the fourth round next year? So go get someone like a Jamar Chase. If you've got that number one pick, you can make your demands to anybody because getting a big haul of picks doesn't mean you get anybody who's Hall of Fame worthy. When Tom went, Tom could cover a lot of sins. That's what the whole secret to his sauce was. Like, you don't have to be a first rounder to be great. The greatness is in the machine of the man. But you don't have that anymore. If anything, you've got a quarterback who's above average when it comes to mobility, and that's really good because the last one was just statuesque as a 1776 British officer, okay? So now you have someone who can move a little bit, and if you can get a receiver that people stay up at night to defend, now you got to think about, can the running back take off? We've got to possibly put two people over there. So whoever your second receiver is, my goodness, if you've got a kid brother, it could be that guy, and he's going to catch 40 balls. But it all starts with getting that big-time receiver, especially now that you know that the quarterback isn't statuesque. If he was statuesque like there's not really anybody in the league like that anymore, right? Everybody has some type of mobility.
He was Bledsoean, if you will.
Right, and that's really going back to a draconian time for a lot of fans at this point, because a lot of them were at that. Like, if someone was upright like a Joe Flacco, which is Joe Flacco's like this anomaly, but you would say, hey, the left tackle is going to mean everything because of his blind side. When you have that mobility, nothing is really your blind side, especially if you can escape it. So especially when you're rolling right, that defensive lineman's got to come that whole crown of the field just to come get you. But that might buy you enough time to get that receiver open, to find that tight end across the middle. But I think it now all starts with getting an A-list, big-time receiver who sees the potential for growth, who can get all the money they want, and is going to be in that conversation of the top three receivers in the league. You have to do it.
I wish there was someone that would be easier to shake free that's not going to cost high draft capital, because you hope that you don't stumble into or end up with the first or second overall pick again anytime soon. It could be such an incredibly valuable asset for a franchise in need of, like I said, so many different tiers of player and elite caliber blue chip.
So are you one of those that would kind of like trade down? Like, I would try and get a big haul of picks, and then here we all at training camp looking at all these different guys with stickers on their helmets saying, well, this guy was taking 34, and this guy was 41, and this guy's. Or would you rather say, oh my gosh, here's that top receiver that this guy needs, because guess what? It might be another guy who can come who says, I'm not going to get the money that I want to get as the number one receiver, or even as a two receiver, like someone like a Slayton out of New York. You might say, hey, I'm getting 12 now, but I'm not really seeing any deals than more than eight. And if you pair that with someone like Jamar Chase, now any one of these receivers currently on the Patriots, it really becomes like, you know, making the band for who becomes the third receiver. Because really, all these guys on this team right now are at best the third receiver. You got to go get a number one receiver.
Oh, yeah. It becomes a massive. It's a massive, massive need. But as far as the rest of the season goes, I don't know how you're going to be able to activate any of these receivers and see necessarily what they have when Drake May is always on the run for his life as well. Now, that's great that that's one of the tools in his toolbox. It's not one that he's had to call on far too often as they continue to ask way too much of this kid. I mean, last week that he was of their 316 yards of offense, that he was responsible for 301 of them total.
Well, yeah. Have you seen the running game?
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
Speaking of which, before we go to commercial, Joe, can you, you know, Alex Van Pelt, who prides himself on the run game, you know, he said in his hostage video when he was first signed by the Patriots to be offensive coordinator back in the spring that he believed the fundamentals of a good running game are what help you score in the modern NFL, and that's what everything should be based and around and centered through. He was actually pretty critical of the run game and what it's done to the offense, which of course is preventing scoring, which is preventing holding on to the ball, which puts the defense out there more, which prevents Drake May being able to get better at aspects of the play action game and those things. Let's get that in real quick, Joe, before the break.
In play action, I know that was a big core piece of your offense, but I think you're towards the bottom of the league in play action rate. Does that have to do with the run game struggles, the play fakes, the situation?
That's where we are right now. We're running the ball effectively. You know, you earn that right to use the play action. You know, teams right now have played shell against us in the run game, and until we can run the ball effectively versus too high defenses, it's going to be tough for us to get the play action game going.
So look at this. Here we are. We're not even caught with a chicken or the egg or is it this or that type of argument, KJ. It's, okay, so we can't run the ball, and that's putting more pressure on Drake because teams know that Alex Van Pelt wants to run the ball, so they're loading up the box and they're keying on the run game. All right, great. So now you have to throw the ball. Well, the offensive line can't hold up long enough for Drake May to throw the ball, and then when he does, there would be more oftentimes guys drop the ball. They aren't in the right spot as well. So, you know, each one is contributing to the other, and all of them are leading to the offensive inabilities and inadequacies and the offense stalling out as much, which is then putting more pressure on Drake to just say, like, blanket, I'll do it myself. and take off and, you know, go 8 for 95 like he did last Sunday.
Yeah, you don't want to see that all the time. But at the same time, you wonder, and this kind of goes to Elliott Wolf, like, was Antonio Gibson really the best complimentary back that you could have been with Stevenson, when you know that it was Damian Harrison and Stevenson, and then Pierre Strong was in that mix as well for a little bit? Like, you need something that's going to complement what the first guy does, right? Because if I'm a defense and I see Antonio Gibson come in the game, I go, pass, because this is not someone who's going to make the run game better. So that's the other part of it, is your back. We talk about the wide receiver room a lot, but we've never really talked about really the quality or the lack of quality that you have coming out of the running back room, because it was all presumed that Ramondre Stevenson was going to be the bell cow for this offense, that at least you had the run through him and the passing game could work off of him. Now that the running game isn't there, everything has to depend on the arm of Drake May, and that's why you are going to get a mistake or two sometimes, just because there's just one or two more passing plays that you have to do because there is no running game.
Yeah, 1.8 yards a carry. Ain't going to get it done at any level.
Sounds like my GPA,
sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long, yeah, exactly. 617-779-7. There were some other jokes a lot that could be made there, but we're already up.
Well, you have to move the decimal for that if you want to talk about something else with me.
It's Fitzy and KJ coming up here on a Thursday night with you till 7:30, at which point
He's two of them.
That's right. Westwood wants... I ain't walking a straight line. No, sir. Just take it
out. You think about my back hurts, huh?
We're with you till 7:30, at which point we throw it to Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football. When we come back, let's get into this idea of the one versus the three this weekend, and which you would rather have, having gotten a glimpse of a half season of Caleb Williams or a quarter season thus far of Drake May. I think some of the answers you'd get, not just locally but nationally, may just surprise you. It's Fitzy and KJ here on EEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't know how long Drake May lasts this season being asked to do what he does. He made up for 95% of the total yards of offense for the Patriots last week. He's a 21-year-old kid making his fourth start in his career. And I feel better about Caleb. I feel better about Caleb because I just don't think you can ask this much of Drake May this early. There is very little support that he has at the skill position positions.
That was Peter Schrager from Hello, It's Touchdowns or Good Morning Football or whatever the hell they call that show. I don't know. There's so many
different... show that you have to have a third-tier cable package to find.
Exactly.
I pay $180 a month just to see this? You know.
KJ, can I let you in on a secret? Right now, and I'm going to let everyone
do you want to share it over the federal airwaves? Or
it's fine.
Sure, only thousands of people will hear it.
Only three people will know, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the answer is yes.
I think no one's listening.
You amaze me, yes.
people that pay, no offense, like who pays for cable anymore? I'm not talking about being a Gen Z or a millennial, the old type. I mean, like, when you have options like YouTube TV available to you, not to go into my full Seinfeld, you know there is the YouTube TV. you can split that with somebody, and then you're paying a whole lot less for your cable package, and you still get a lot of the premium channels, my guy.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. You can, like, get, like, a stream box through the cable company and not have the physical box. But here's the thing, though. When the power goes out, mm-hmm. or not when the power goes out, but, like, when your cable goes out,
that's when the
if your internet is still working and you have one of these boxes, you can still watch the channels on cable. Exactly. And aren't there better ways to find Seinfeld than the one? I'm just kidding. But look, okay, so if we're going to have this cable conversation, I'm just a stickler about hard lines. Like, in my mm-hmm. house, I don't really use the Wi-Fi. I use hard line direct to box. So my TV is plugged directly to an Ethernet cable. I plug everything to an Ethernet cable when I can, just because, mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, now we're getting into technological science. But when you have a Wi-Fi signal going in your house, it starts off at 100%. But let's say if your refrigerator is attached to it and your cable is attached to it and you've got four phones in the house, it starts to wear down the signal because everybody's using that one Wi-Fi signal.
They're all pulling on it. Yeah,
they're all pulling on it. But when you've got the Ethernet, it's just like, it's just me and you, baby. Like, it's just us alone in the room, and I can give you all 100% of myself. Actually, that number is technically a 100, right? So I'm that guy when it comes to internet stuff in the house. But there's a part of me that says, if I could still have a hard line cable to the wall, that's going to prevent me from, when my internet goes out, from me losing my television. Do we get a sponsor from one of these cable companies just for doing that?
I would think Xfinity or...
I wouldn't even say a name until you know who's on the books. Right, you know? Okay. They turn around and clip KJ, Fitzy and KJ audio and start using it for commercials. Yeah. Next thing you know, we're being subbed like old Kung Fu movies.
ComTube and X-Cast or makeup. That's why I always say Fan right. Kings and Draft Duel.
Never go wrong with the Acme Cable Company.
I'll juice you.
Damn, that's an old-ass reference, right?
I'll juice you. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. The notion of Drake May being asked to do too much. And in the showdown... the showcase, really, of the first overall pick, Caleb Williams, who struggled a little bit early on and then found his groove. And then over the last 2 weeks, with the utter deflation of the Hail Maryland against a very spry and game Washington Commanders defense, one that was actually CC New England Patriots, active at the trade deadline, acquiring Marshawn Lattimore to help shore up their defense. And their secondary as well. And then last week, just an absolute... they looked like they were playing with the hangover of having the wind sucked out of their sails in the last minute on a Hail Mary pass. He's been very up and down this year, whereas Drake May, you know, he gets a win for the game that he didn't actually finish against the Jets. But I find we have very little to quibble with him. Sure, Alex Van Pelt's like, yeah, he could probably shore up his play action a little bit, and maybe he shouldn't look for all the home run balls. Maybe he should look for the small game and take the profit more often. But the profit he's taking often involves his own 2 feet and getting out of that collapsing pocket, the sandcastle that is the Patriots' offensive line and pocket. So the debate is going to start today. It's been going on this week, and it's going to continue through Sunday. If you were starting a franchise now, or if you had a chance to redraft him between the two, who are you most impressed with, and who would be your guy between the two?
Well, see, there's a caveat, right? It's like Christmas. If you said who got what gifts under the Christmas tree when they got here, Drake might have had like a little wooden toy, and mm-hmm. Caleb Williams, you know, pretty much had a battery operated car that he could fit his whole body in. They got Keenan Allen for him. DJ Moore was there for him. You got Cole Kmet. So you had all these things in place for him, but yet he hasn't matched his toys. Mm-hmm. Right. So many people had the Bears winning the NFC North, and they're in last place. At the beginning of the season, many people had Drake May sitting
battery reference. He was using triple A's that needed double A's.
Okay, usually with a bigger car like that, you probably go with D batteries, but I don't know. Are D batteries kind of like weird to people, like cursive is to young people?
It feels like they're kind of getting phased out now.
Right,
as a matter of fact, more often than not.
Getting a young person to write in cursive, like what's that? So Drake May has worked well with the wooden toy that he has, and you think of the kids are like, man, this guy's really gotten creative with nothing. So if you said... if I had to draft all over with everything, I would take Drake May first, putting him on that Chicago team based on what Drake May is doing, and you've got a better Chicago team. if you put Caleb Williams on this Patriots team drafting third, I don't think this team is any better. And if anything, you might see more mistakes because you don't have receivers out there that can help make up for those mistakes. So if I was to, if you said, what's the 1-2-3 to me in terms of the draft of where we stand now, I would say Jaden Daniels 1, Drake May 2, Caleb Williams 3.
I think that is a perfectly fine assessment. Jaden Daniels right now obviously is the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year. I think he's actually minus 1,400 at this point, so it's almost off the board. But they
just
still
give
have
me that money, whatever you're going to bet, if you're going to bet on that.
Yeah, that's a fool's. The ROI on that isn't even worthwhile.
Congratulations. Not only did you bet $100, but you owe us.
Yeah, you owe us money for betting $1,000 to win 14 or 140. Right. So he's at four, but he's also an MVP candidate now alongside Lamar Jackson as well. Coming in, he started the season at 10th overall, was Drake May, but now he's up to 4th overall. He's at 4th overall for potential Rookie of the Year as well, which, you know, shows he's really made some strides just behind Caleb Williams and Bo Nix. But I feel like they're there almost more in terms of
necessity.
Just basically just be like on reputation alone, whereas Drake May is the one that's been turning heads and rocking the charts the last couple of weeks as well.
Well, I think with Bo Nix, it's just like they're surprised that he's won any games. I think that's what it is with Bo Nix.
I think Bo Nix was terrific in that show on Amazon, The Boys, but he does not. It's like a 50-year-old man at this point. But the Caleb Williams, you know, in doing some research for this Sunday's edition of the Sunday 7 at WEI.com, I didn't realize the Chicago Bears are mired in a very similar situation. Their head coach is under fire.
Stop Bears.
It's worse than here.
They have, yeah, maybe we can do a Dub Bears William Hung rejoin when we come back. So you've got a head coach under fire. Eberflus is now 3 years in and making a mess of things, and it doesn't seem like he has the confidence of the team, and he's kind of tuned out. Shane Waldron, first-year play caller, also under fire. Is he doing a good enough job? They even thought about taking his play calling duties away, but he's going to hold on to him for at least this week.
Don't take my play of calling to call of duty away. I'm sorry.
And can you believe Caleb Williams right now is on schedule to be sacked 62 times, which would put him, that would be the sixth most times that a quarterback has been sacked in the history of the NFL. So he's dealing with some ish out there in Chicago as well. It's not all hunky-dory, even though between you and I, KJ, we would both like trip over each other just running to grab hold of a DJ Moore or a Keenan Allen or a Roma Dunze to pair up alongside Drake May, and we would gladly trade them all our receivers, Ramondre, a bag of Dom steak tips, and maybe some Skipper's chowder just to get any one of those guys through our door. So
I wonder why
they can't get that going.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes when you're given everything, you don't know how to manage the things that you've been given. Let's just say the Patriots were made a trade to go get a top-level receiver, top 12 receiver, and you also received another team's number one pick. It allowed you to go get another quarterback, and you're able to sign a receiver one for the last 10 years who's on his downhill, but you've got two top receivers. You've got a tight end that's probably top seven in the league. You have all these different things in place, and if you were getting this result now that the Bears are getting, what do you think the reaction would be here? Get rid of everybody.
Chaos.
It would
Human
be total
sacrifice.
Chaos. But the reason why I bring that up, Fitzy, is because when you look at what Jerod Mayo's gone through, he doesn't have any of those pieces. And 2 weeks ago, people were ready to bring that level of chaos to him. And my thing was just like, settle down. There's nothing here that's failing. Because if you're in a room of C-minus students, you can't be surprised when you get a C on your report card. If anything, if you get a C on a report card and you got nothing but C-minus students, that means that somebody in the room is doing some better work than C-minus. And that's Drake May. So with the Bears, they had all these A's and B's, and they're showing up with a D. That means so many guys are not doing what they're supposed to do, that are expected to do and have been here. So, again, I think the Patriots are in a better situation because it's a forward-looking statement in the financial world, where this one is a profit loss. I'm looking at the loss sheet on our balance sheet of what the Chicago Bears are doing. They've got to start thinking about all these things they've spent on and are getting a minimal return.
Yeah, it seems like the Patriots have spent less and are getting more with Drake May, whereas your Chicago Bears did a whole lot to put a really talented infrastructure around Caleb Williams for success, one that I and many even called this summer as the way you should do it if you want to help develop your rookie quarterback and set them up for success. And here's Drake May just making everybody around him look better. It's up to everybody else to actually receive the gift of better that Drake is giving them, although it feels like most of the people just want to drop it or run away from it. Caleb Williams just isn't getting the most out of him, and I feel like there's got to be a disconnect there as well. But as we know, KJ, we got to take a break. We're a couple minutes past it here. But as we know, if your team is in need of a get-right game, just dial 1-800-PATRIOTS, and we will come calling, and they will help figure out exactly what it is that ails you and bring you a whole heaping load of it. 617-779-7937. Hop in and talk some Patriots and Bears with KJ and Fitzy. With you here till 7:30 tonight on WEEI.
Get back.
I'm going to put the Red Sox in there, and I put them in there a week ago when I talked about the Soto negotiations, and I said expected to be in along with a number of other teams. I think the Giants, the Blue Jays. The Giants and Blue Jays fans were fine with it. The Red Sox fans got all upset, I think, at me too. I don't know why. I understand they haven't spent. I think maybe they were concentrating on soccer. I don't know. Still recovering from the Mookie Betts mistake. I'm not sure what was going on there, but I do expect the Red Sox to be in. I mean, they've been a little quiet. You may not hear a lot about that, but I believe the Red Sox will be in. They're one of the six teams.
That was MLB insider John Heyman. Heyman! Talking about where Juan Soto may end up in the coming years, and it's going to take years to land Juan Soto. Obviously, $400 million something was not enough to stay in Washington, so he was shipped out to San Diego. And then $400-something million was not enough to keep him there. So then he was shipped out to the New York Yankees, who had him for 1 year, and quite an impact was made all the way up to when it counted the most. As last week, we New England fans still salty about our football team not being in contention were treated to a double schadenfreude of the Jets losing at the hand of the Patriots, no less, and the Yankees in the World Series. Thus freeing up Juan Soto's services, KJ, to be available for the upcoming year and years to come, but it's going to cost a lot of money. Some are saying that it could be in the neighborhood of $600 million. So, A, do you, Mr. KJ Carson, here on the other side of Fitzy and KJ, do you believe that the Red Sox are legitimately not just interest king level, stir up the masses and placate the Fenway faithful? Do you believe that the Red Sox are legitimately interested in Juan Soto? And would that be the kind of talent, the kind of guy, the kind of player you would want them to go after and invest in heavily?
Well, yes. A, I would want that. Like, who wouldn't want Juan Soto on their team? But I think this kind of goes to some of the other things that John Henry's dealing with. Ironically, I actually have a Liverpool FC shirt on right now.
Get out of here.
I'm dead serious. And so you would have to watch to see if they're able to finally sell that team before you get into the negotiations for Juan Soto. Because if you're trying to offload a $5 to $7 billion team overseas and having trouble doing so, you're probably going to have you're probably going to have some issues trying to sign someone to a $600-700 million contract. Like, you're adding almost another billion, and that's just for one player. If they're able to sell Liverpool, then now there could be absolutely no excuse why you can't go full brunt on. Because let's just say you get $6 billion for Liverpool, right? If you get the NBA franchise, that's going to run you, what, maybe $2 billion, $3 billion for that new franchise in Vegas.
Cool, two or three.
So sure, it leaves you with about $3 billion. The Penguins aren't going to cost you that much, right? You're just trying to make sure that they actually stay in Pittsburgh. That's really the job there. And then you could say, okay, now there's no excuse to now recommit to the Red Sox. Even if you say, okay, we're going to now actively look at potentially moving about $1 billion to reinvesting in the Red Sox and their future and the terms of getting some superstars back in here. Because at the end of the day, what we're seeing now in this, the Dodgers are proving it very well. If you don't have some type of marquee name on your team, you're not going to reap the benefits of what you used to get. So the Yankees, Red Sox, which used to be everything to the network, is kind of like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, there's never a time that the Red Sox Yankees should be on a cable, should be the cable game of a week. It should be the national Saturday night game when these two meet up. You do want to kind of keep toe to toe for what the Yankees are doing, but you have to be smart about it. So from a business perspective, I understand a little bit because, you know, that Liverpool deal is clogging up something that you want to get some more cash to, especially if you're trying to get an NBA team and straighten out the Red Sox. So, yes, I think they want him, but could they pull that trigger? I think it's just too much money with other things just going on too big. I know fans don't care. I give a damn about Liverpool. But if you've got $5 billion on your books, if your mortgage was due tomorrow and you had $5 billion mortgage, you're going to probably work to make sure that you can get the money for that first before worrying about anything else.
Sure. From a fiscal perspective, I think that's the way that the Fenway Sports Group needs to look at things. And I understand where you're coming from. But just from an on-field, best baseball team you can field, shoring up the issues of the last and previous seasons type of approach, adding another lefty bat, may as well just go all lefties at that point. I mean, every single impact bat on the Sox at that point is going to seem to be a lefty. You had William.
But it's not like Juan Soto struggles hitting left-handers. And name me a right-handed bat that's better than Juan Soto's bat that's going somewhere. Judge is not going anywhere. Giancarlo Stanton is past his prime. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout is past his prime. So, like, who is the right-handed bat that's better than Juan Soto's left-handed bat?
I'd move if I have to hear anything else about Roman Anthony and Marcelo Mayer and Kyle Tate and all the amazing prospects they have at AA and AAA.
The springtime Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. Honest to God. Like, at this.
Forget the elephant in the room about Juan Soto. He's a Boris client.
Yeah, right. So whatever he gets from the Red Sox, whatever offer, you know, Boris absolutely crapped his pants and then was left to stand in front of everyone and apologize for it last offseason because he messed up and overplayed his hand, which is a rare Boris mistake because that's what he usually tries to do. Likes to fly just close enough to the sun so that he can say he flew close to the sun but never actually burn his wings.
Icarus, that's the tale of Icarus, yes.
Last year, Kid Icarus got burned real good. Only a 1 or 2 year deal for Snell, one for Jordan Montgomery. Neither Snell gets hurt. Jordan Montgomery has a garbage season coming off the World Series win with the Rangers. So he's probably looking for redemption and revenge on a ginormous $500 million deal, bare minimum for Juan Soto. But any team's better with him. I'm not going to say otherwise. But, the Sox a couple years ago, you had one of the best right-handed bats in baseball, a guy who's now going to be transitioning back to the infield to help his team that just won the World Series in Mookie Betts, Marcus Mookie
Again.
Betts. You weren't going to hold on to him. You got absolutely nothing in return. You may as well have gotten nothing just so you could say, like, yeah, we wanted to set him free so we didn't have the disgrace of Verdugo and Colton. What the hell else was the trade?
Connor Jeter Downs.
Worst place to ever see your horse race, Jeter Downs. My God, what a disaster of a deal.
Was that on 1AA?
I think it was just past August.
So, 5 miles east of the bay, right?
An absolute mess. Like, look, would I want to Juan Soto? Sure. Do I want to see the Sox spend $600 million? There's a nice part of it, of course, which is anything you can take from the Yankees whenever you sign someone away that makes your team better and you take them away from the Yankees, that's a double win. Okay, so there's an angle there as well that, like, you rob the Yankees and make them worse and improve yourself as well. But is 47 to $52 million a year for Juan Soto, does that fix everything that ails these Red Sox? Or do you look to add another bat, bring up some of the kids, sign the best pitcher you possibly can, trade for a stud, and be the best all-around team you can?
So, you know how I mentioned that it was Kid Icarus who flew too close to the sun? The reason why I know this is because I am a huge Led Zeppelin fan, and the swan song label is Kid Icarus flying too close to the sun. But yet there's a song called Achilles' Last Stand, and the label was called Swan Song. The fans want this team to at least fly close to the sun. Let's get burned with some good players out there. If it happens, oh, so be it. Maybe we fall a little bit because we know what that looks like. But at least try and fly to the sun. Because right now, all you're seeing is a swan song and a really bad Achilles. That's what's really going on with the fans through their eyes. Think about Winterfest last year, right? I mean, it was almost kind of like, damn, are some of these clients from 1775 in this meeting here? Like, is this one of the, was this like Red Sox and Friends meeting? You know, so the fan base wants to know that you're going out and you're getting players that are going to bring the bang to the team. Like, even Toronto has made a better attempt at that. I wasn't even thinking that. But even Toronto has made that effort to try and go get some players to at least compete with the Yankees. I mean, 'cause here's the thing now. You can't say that the Red Sox can compete with the Orioles. You can't say that the Red Sox can compete with the Yankees right now. The Blue Jays, I think it was just an off year, and maybe they're going to offload. You would hope maybe Vlad Guerrero Jr. Somehow gets into a conversation mix.
He's my number one target, by the way.
Well, but here's the thing.
If possible.
He's a great player, but is he a transformative guy, right? The Red, and this is part of the fan base. Oh, there's no way you sign that guy for 12 years. But if it was Shohei Ohtani and you had a chance to sign him for 12 years looking at what it is now, would you have done it? Or would you have signed Mookie Betts for the 10 years? Would you have done it now? Because that dog is almost halfway in the woods in terms of that contract, it's paid itself. He's won two World Series since he's left. And that's been since 2018. So it's not like, Mookie Betts didn't really contribute something until they traded him in his eighth year, that deal or what have you. And then you probably want to look at some of this creative math that the Dodgers were able to get away with Ohtani and with Yamamoto. So maybe this is something where if you're the Red Sox, you try and put your foot into that, dip it into that pool, and try and fly high for the sun for the fans. I mean, who is the free agent? Who's the last free agent?
Do it for the people, damn it.
That's what I'm talking about. Who was the last free agent that just made you just go, whew, I can't wait to get out to see the Red Sox. It's not Trevor Story. That was like a Sunday morning. Well, okay, I won't say what it was like because we're in a political climate. But it was just like, oh my gosh, they left the money on the dresser and picked up Trevor Story as a free agent after everybody had gone away. So that's the last.
Trevor Story was like when you go to the pizza parlor and you ask if you, like when the kitchen's closed and you get to a restaurant and they're like, oh, sorry, the kitchen closed a few minutes ago. And you just end up ordering some inferior bar snacks to go with the drink.
You don't know how to talk to the female bartender then, do you? Because I've never failed at getting a townie pizza after they stopped the kitchen. Because you do the wink 30, 40 minutes before while you're still having your beers. You do the little wink. You'd be like, hey.
But what if you just arrived? What if you just arrived?
Then you've got to know that the oven is off. You know what I mean? Like at this point, they might be letting.
I didn't know they were scraping the flat top this early.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, but that's the other part of it is you're supposed to know, especially if it's your spot in the townie bar, get that pizza order in with a couple of winks. How you doing, Shirley? Looking amazing. You're looking amazing. She's got that little small pizza waiting for you when you leave. Like, how's this guy walking out of here at 2 a.m. with a pizza in his hand? He winked at Shirley back at about 10:35.
The old Shirley wink, man, that never fails you. Call that one the KJ Carson.
I am 1,000% on that one right there.
Long and short, as I peruse like a list of the best available free agents, and there has not been a free agent that has moved the needle or dropped a six to midnight for me for the longest time. Look, tell you what, I would take Teoscar Hernandez. Okay, put it this way. I would take Teoscar Hernandez and Corbin Burns over, like, because I think they would. You could probably get them for what it would cost to get you, or maybe even just a little bit more. But then I've got a power hitting bat. I can put a DH or over at first or in the outfield. And you just saw him show up on the big stage. And I don't know why the Red Sox didn't get after him last season as well. That was a whiff, like so many other and player development
Fitzy,
whiffs.
You really think that one guy who helped lead its team into the playoffs and one of the better records in the league in Corbin Burns and Teoscar Hernandez, who just won a World Series, is going to be operating on the new city discount? Like, no.
No, pay those men their money. I'm just saying I would take a two because I think the two of them will probably come in around at the same price you'd have to pay for a season of Juan
Soto. As many risks as you take drinking weird IPA beers made in people's basements, and you're going
to
say, I'd rather take
his money.
Yeah. Like, look, no. Like, if you can get Juan Soto, you don't think a second-tier player will be saying, you know, hey, I probably want to go there.
Just to go. I don't think he's got the cologne yet because he hasn't won anywhere he's gone.
Yeah, but do you see what the guy does and how young he is? That's the other part of it. This
good.
Guy,
I understand.
He's what, 25 years old? So you can give him a 12-year deal and he won't be 40. That's crazy when you think about it. So if you know that you could have him in right field DH for the next 12 years, maybe you say, hey, maybe you go look at Alex Bregman as your third baseman. Maybe you move Raffy to first. If you remember when they were doing Raffy's numbers and they did the comp, it was to Matt Olson in Atlanta. You're like, why is it Matt Olson? He's a first baseman. I think they kind of tipped their hand of where they see the future of Rafael Devers is at first. You go get an Alex Bregman. That's another right-hand bat. You can go get Juan Soto. Now you've got a super bat in left and right field. It doesn't matter whether it's left or right-handed hitting. You know, like, again, you know, there's nobody better than him that's available.
All right, to each his own, and that's why we enjoy these argumentative discourses and we sports radio on the whole.
Shirley, Joe, how you
Joe,
doing?
Give me
I'll
our
be there in 30 yeah, minutes.
I'm looking for Shirley right now. I could definitely use a tall frog.
Shirley doesn't work on Thursdays.
Damn it. Why don't I know these things in advance? Joe, give us our outro music. All right, KJ, there's a decent football game on for the people to watch tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to sit here and play the How You Consume football game, which I was going to try to line up for the end of the show, but we got too deep in the weeds with the Sox.
Popcorn and a beer. It's simple.
Popcorn, man, you are a man of my jib. I like the way it is cut. Good on you. That's what I am all about, too. Who do you like tonight? I think the Ravens are 6.5 over the Bengals. I think I'm going Ravens money line. I like the Bengals to cover, and it's the Soto contract and then whatever else everyone makes for the over tonight. They scored 79 easy last time they played.
Give me the Bengals money line. I think this is one of those division games that you say, hey, I can throw out the line, but Baltimore has a chance to kind of mess things up in the middle of the season with John Harbaugh making decisions, and you feel like this is Cincinnati's last chance to try and make a run at any type of playoff spot, even if it's the last one. So I think it's more of a must-win game for Cincinnati, and I think they get it.
Ooh, that would be good. That would be good. That's a tasty one to watch tonight before you get into the weekend. And, of course, I'll be in Chicago Sunday for Pats at the Bears. And I'll be filing a little report on the Six Rings and Things post-game show with Andy Hart and John Lyons thereafter. KJ, pleasure chatting sports with you.
And I'll be here tomorrow.
For an hour and a half, a brief Thursday respite. He's at KJ Carson. I'm at Fitzy GFY. And, of course, if you like the show, congratulate Joe. And if you didn't like how we presented things tonight, blame Braverman. That'll do for Fitzy.
Kenzie mail?
Yeah, this show bangs just like William Hung and Mike Green. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a great night.
See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.